It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 19, and we're going to begin with the first verse of that chapter. And so please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 19, and we'll begin the study in just a few moments. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to write to us, you'll find us at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're just going to read the first verse of chapter 19, and then we'll read the rest of the verses as we carry on through the 19th and 20th chapter. Joshua chapter 19, verse 1, "And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even to the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah." Now let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and study your precious word. It's such a wonderful time, wonderful opportunity to come. Open your word, study it, read it. Dear Lord, we just praise you for it. Thank you for its strength. Thank you for its saving power. And we know when we say your word because, dear Father, it's your Son, the Lord Jesus. This precious book that's before me is a living word. And I just ask that no one adds to it or no one takes away from it, but we enjoy it as it is because it is a powerful, powerful book. Because, dear Father, it is your living Son that has spoke this to us. And when we come and listen to it, it is real. It is alive. And so, Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he's died on the cross for us. We just ask today that folks that are saved learn, grow, serve. Those that are lost, dear Father, what they need to do is just simply come by faith and call upon you. Please, today, that they would do that, that they would just call upon you, ask you into their heart. Oh, please, today, dear Lord, that come to pass. Now, please, guide and lead us as we study through this book of Joshua, as we continue to place the tribes in their areas. And I just ask for your strength and your power, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful to open up your book and the Word of God and study it, and I'm glad that you've joined us today to do just that. We have looked at the dividing of the land here, and we find as we start now at the 19th chapter, we're going to begin here with the second lot, and then we have, as we look earlier here, we can find the verse 10 of chapter 18, if you want to back up there with me. Chapter 18, verse 10, "Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the tribe of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph." And then it continues with the rest of this chapter here, saying of the boundaries, the borders, and the cities. Now you can look on, as I just keep asking, I hope that you have a map that you can take a look at and you can kind of see. And so when you look at Benjamin, well, you find that Benjamin, the city of Jerusalem, is in this land of Benjamin, and it is a borderline to Judah, the tribe of Judah. And so you can see it's just at the northern tip of the Dead Sea. And it's a very small area there, the land of Benjamin, but it fit the families. God was very fair. And so if the land was very plentiful, then it didn't take so many acres, so many square miles to take care of them. If it was rough, or if there was just so much, so many people, why, then you found that it became larger. So we have the first lot, and it just said the lot of the tribe of Benjamin is in the 11th verse there of chapter 18. And then we come to chapter 19 and the second lot. Now, this second lot we're going to find is going, you remember there's seven tribes left. You remember that's kind of where we ended up last time we were together. I guess I'll start back there just a little bit. And how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you, was Joshua's question to them in the third verse of chapter 18. And then we begin to get the division taken care of. And so in chapter 18, verse 11 is Benjamin. And then we come to the second lot, which is chapter 19, which was the verse of Scripture that we read to begin the study with today. And so the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. Now, you'll see that Simeon, they ended up joining Judah. And if you have a map in front of you, and I hope that you do, you'll find that Simeon got the southern half, so to speak, of Judah. Judah and Simeon are really not divided. They're kind of together, but they took their portion, their lot, from Judah. Judah shared with the tribe of Simeon, and we find the borders as it comes. They had in their inheritance Beersheba and Sheba, and it just kind of continues with the borders. Then it goes to their cities. The villages were round about these cities, and that have in verse 8. And then verse 9, out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. And so we find that it's been joined together. Judah received a wonderful blessing, and we know that some great things are going to take place in the tribe of Judah, even though we're going to find some wicked things that take place there too. And so we just love the Word of God and love studying it and looking through it. And so now we have that's the second lot. That was for Simeon. We found it to be part of the lot with Judah. Now the third lot's verse 10. And the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun. And so far now we've gotten Benjamin, first of all. And then we have Simeon. We took care of them down south. Benjamin is just north of Jerusalem, lays in that area there. Picks up Jericho, Gibeon, the edge of Gibeon there. And so it's several cities that we're very familiar with as far as Benjamin's concerned. And then the third lot fell on Zebulun. All right, now Zebulun, if you'll go further north, because it's not far from the Sea of Galilee, and so you come up all the way to the northern part there, and we find the land of Zebulun kind of lays north and south, kind of sandwiched between Issachar. It's kind of landlocked, as they would call it today. Asher, Naphtali, Issachar, and Manasseh. It's all laying in between those two. Again, it's about the size of the land that Benjamin held. And so we find Zebulun, according to their families and the borders of their inheritance, was unto Sardai. And so we find then all the way to the 16th verse, and you please read those towns and names. Some folks know where they are, some we don't know where they are, and so I'm not reading the borders or the towns, but I ask that you would do that at your convenience. Verse 16 now of chapter 19, this is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their families, these cities with their villages. And then the fourth lot. Remember, they cast lots for the land, and it was divided properly in that manner. And so the fourth lot came to Issachar. All right, now we find Issachar is about the same size as Zebulun and Benjamin. It is just north of Manasseh. It does lay along the Jordan River, just south of the Sea of Galilee. Gives you a little idea there. Borders Zebulun on one side, Naphtali to the north side, north Manasseh to the south, and the Jordan River to the east. It gives you a little bit of an idea. This is the fourth Issachar, and for the children of Issachar according to their families. And then we come down to the 23rd verse. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar according to their families, the cities and their villages. Again, I hope you have a map to kind of look this up. Now the fifth lot. The fifth lot came to the tribe of Asher. Now, if we look for Asher, you're going to find Asher along the Mediterranean Sea and goes all the way up to the northern border to the area of Mount Lebanon. It doesn't go quite that far north. Naphtali and Asher, Dan, and Manasseh that stayed on the east side, there. That's the northern border. And so you have on this side of the Jordan, why we have Asher and Naphtali, and then a little part of Dan. I think Dan's on the other side of the Jordan River. So Asher lays along, in his fair size, lays along the Mediterranean Sea, its southern border being Manasseh, and the northern border being just that, the northern border of Israel. And then laying alongside it would be Zebulun on the east side and Naphtali. And so the fifth lot is Asher. Let's turn to the 31st verse. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families, these cities with their villages. The sixth lot, out of the children of Naphtali, even for the children of Naphtali according to their families. That's verse 32. And so we're in Joshua chapter 19, verse 32, and we find Naphtali. Let's see if we can find the area that Naphtali received. And so as we look to the borders of Asher to the east all the way to the Jordan River, you'll find Naphtali, and the southern border is Issachar and Zebulun, and the northern border is the furthest border of the nation of Israel. And so it lays in there. And so as we continue now with the lots, and it's again, 2.5 tribes have stayed on the one side, and there were 7 tribes that had not landed and not received their property, and we're going through those right now. He says, time to wake up, get to work. And so the sixth was Naphtali, and we have found that. Again, it's fairly long, about as long as Asher, and lays against Issachar to the southern border and Zebulun, and then along the Sea of Galilee, and then all the way north to the northern border. And we come now to verse 39 of that chapter, Joshua 19:39. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities, and their villages. And the seventh lot, seventh and final, came for the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families. Now, Dan is a tiny little place. There are two places for Dan. One is down just to the border of Judah and Ephraim, Manasseh just a little bit. It also, Joppa, you have western border being the Mediterranean Sea. And then it stretches down, and it really kind of almost like a finger down across there. You know, it comes and wraps around Ephraim, part of it, lands into Benjamin, and then its southern border is Judah. And so that kind of gives you an idea of where it's located. And then there's another place of Dan that is way up north. It's north of the Sea of Galilee by quite a little, and it also is the northern border of Israel. You have Asher to the west, then Naphtali, then a little spot of Dan, and then Manasseh, which is on the other side that chose not to come over. So there are the 7 tribes. That's the seventh lot, as it spoke of there. And so this verse 48 now, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families, these cities with their villages. And now I'm going to read verse 49 through verse 51 in closing this chapter out, because this sums it all up. And when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath Sarah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. And these are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh. Remember where the tabernacle is? It's in Shiloh. Everything is done in Shiloh, because it's where God's meeting with the people. In Shiloh, before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, so they made an end of dividing the country. And so Joshua here ends up with a small area of land, and it's not good land. It's kind of like when Abraham and Lot had their division. Do you remember what Abraham did? Abraham said to Lot there, they came back out of Egypt, they had so many cattle and everything, and the herdsmen were fighting, and Abraham didn't want that. Abraham wanted it to give a good testimony. And so he told Lot, he said, you look whichever way you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction. Well, Lot looked at some of the finest land that was there. The sad thing is that along with that come the level of sin, because you have Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked towards those cities. Wasn't long he was in it, instead of being able to stay separated from it. But he chose some of the finest land, and Abraham ended up with something less than that, and quite a bit less than that. And Joshua here did the same thing. He chose this, says in Mount Ephraim, and it wasn't much, but he didn't care, because you see, this isn't his land. Yes, it's promised to the nation of Israel, but he didn't want something special. Remember that Caleb, not so long ago, come and says, hey, remember what God said. Well, God's promise was there, but Joshua did not take. He could have had the choice, the choosing of his land, any place that he wanted it, he could have had, but he chose not to, and he just chose a small little area here, and it isn't by any means good ground. But that was satisfactory for him, because this isn't his home. He knew it, and he just praised the Lord, and the Lord gave him strength and direction. Now, we have finally now gotten all 12 tribes settled, two and a half on one side, and the remaining on the other side. And we've divided now the seven that were kind of lazy, that didn't get their work done. We got all this taken care of. Now, there's a couple more things that we need to do. There's the need of a refuge city. And so we're going to begin reading now with Joshua chapter 20. And the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out of you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. This was all taken care of. This isn't new things. This is information. This is things that that God had told Moses, and Moses then had told Joshua, and we're beginning to bring them out. I mean, we're finally settled in the land, and so some of these things are taking its course. And it says, appoint out for you cities of refuge. Now, what is a city of refuge? What's the reason for a city of refuge? Well, let's find out. And it says in verse 2, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out of you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up unto his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. He shall dwell in the city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Now, we're going to take some time here just a little bit, and I hope to take care of it in today's study. If an accident happened, something took place, and you weren't vengeful of your neighbor, it wasn't premeditated, it was just an accident, and because of that accident, someone died. And when they died, you had only one course of action, and that is to get yourself into one of these refuge cities. But you just didn't decide on your own that you were okay. These refuge cities now, this place that we call a safe haven, was a place where this individual that had committed this crime, but unwittingly, in other words, didn't intend to, didn't mean to. It was an accident. But, you know, sometimes when an accident happens, maybe the sons or the relatives of that person that died didn't see it that way. And they, in their anger and their wrath, came after this individual. Well, this individual must get to the place of refuge, into one of these cities. We have six of them. Get into one of these cities and then stay there. But not only just stay there, but when they got to the gate of that city, they were to do something. The judges, the people that were in leadership position, would be at the gate. It was very common at that time, and they would be at the gate. And so when you arrived, if you were the one that caused the death, but you didn't mean to, and so you would rush to this city of refuge, and you would share with these judges what happened, and then they would decide whether what you did by your testimony, what you did, whether it was right or wrong, whether you needed to be handed over to the courts and tried and found guilty that you did murder this individual, or that it was an accident. And if it was an accident, and these judges, these people here, they would decide whether it was an accident or not. And if it was, then you were to stay in that refuge city, and as the avenger, the one that maybe the relative or family member that would come and try to get to you, try to destroy you for what you did, you couldn't, because you were inside that refuge city. You were safe inside that city. And so you stayed there, and there's a deadline for that time. You stayed there till the high priest died. That seems a little strange, doesn't it? But you were safe there in that refuge city until the high priest died. And at that time, you were still safe, but it was all over. It was finished, and you could go home. You could return home. And so these refuge cities now, we have six of them, three on each side. On the west side, we have Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron. Now, all those are kind of familiar names. Now, the three that are on the east side is Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. And so those are the three that are on the east side, and on the west side is Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron. Now, let me share with you just a little bit, because these words just don't just don't come out in the open and have nothing behind them. You realize that the word Kadesh means the sanctuary. We find sanctuary in the midst of this world. And that's what this refuge city, that's what this place would be to the person that was coming, trying to protect himself, because what he did, he didn't mean to do. Yes, he was the causer of the death of that individual, but he wasn't going to be held responsible for it. But the only way that you could get that clean, that slate clean, is to come to that refuge city. And Kadesh means sanctuary. Shechem means a shoulder. The government of the world is on his shoulders. You see, Jesus here is a picture all the way through. He is our sanctuary. He is our place of refuge. Jesus is the shoulder that holds us up, that keeps us up. And Hebron is communion. Communion. Oh, the fellowship that we have with the Lord. What a wonderful day to have the communion. So on the west side, we have Kadesh, Shechem, and in Hebron. And those all three are refuge cities. And so it's very important that we see these places where they could come and be very safe. No one could get to you. Manasseh is in Shechem there, and we also, as we come down, and we find Hebron is in Judah, and if you remember, that's where Caleb. Remember, that was one of the cities and one of the areas that he got, and so that was kept there. And then let's see if we can find Kadesh as we come north, because they were properly placed so that no one was too far away from getting to one of these cities. And it was important that they come. They had to come quickly, because if they would have caught you before you got there, then you would have been held responsible. Kadesh is in Naphtali, and it's up north, not far from the northern border, above Hazor, straight above the Sea of Galilee. So we have Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron, almost evenly spaced there in their areas, so that everyone could get to one of these sanctuary, these refuge cities, a sanctuary, a shoulder, and communion. Now let's look at the three that's on the other side. We have Hebron. Again, that's kind of a familiar place for us. And so we have Hebron, we have Bezer, B-E-Z-E-R, and then Ramoth. And those are, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. Now, the G-O-L-O-N-O-A-N, Golan is in up in the tribe of Manasseh. You can see that very clearly in that area and that region. And then as we find ourselves going southward to each one of the other cities and areas, we find in Gad and in Zebulun to have enough area and region so that all can get to one of these refuge cities, even though it was the two and a half tribes that didn't come across. The meaning of Bezer is fortress. Ramoth is the heights, and so he is our strong tower. He is our security. Ramoth, the heights, raised up in heavenly places. That is our Savior. That is our God. And Golan is their rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so an open door for the poor, for the distressed, fleeing from those with the avenging blood. And so we need to see that. And as we look at these refuge cities, we need to understand that the whole world, Jew or Gentile, stands before God as having participated in that which brought about the death of his son. Understand that. His sacrifice on the cross has opened up, as it were, a city of refuge for all who put their trust in him. So don't miss the picture that we have. This was for Israel, but don't miss the picture that we have for ourselves, because it is our refuge city here and now. And my dear friend, in our case, our high priest never dies. My dear friend, it's a wonderful study. Don't miss it. 19 and 20 of Joshua. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?